Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, reflecting at the moment about the history of this podcast. It's been about 14 years, and I have tried desperately to not have the same person back twice, but I just couldn't resist in about a handful of occasions. Today is one of those occasions when I'm going to have the pleasure of talking again with Tim Dubay, who's moved from Northern Ontario School of Medicine, where he was when we last spoke in this context, to become assistant professor in the Department of Family Medicine and Emergency Medicine at Université de Sherbrooke in Quebec, in my home country. And I've asked Tim to chat with me again about a paper that he has coming out with co-authors in the May 2024 issue of Medical Education entitled Pathways, Journeys, and Experiences, Integrating Curricular Activities Related to Social Accountability Within an Undergraduate Medical Curriculum. Tim, that was a mouthful. Thanks for your patience while we get started. So good to see you again.
Thanks very much, Kevin, for this opportunity. Happy to be here.
So the last we spoke, you were doing work on methodologies and how it influenced qualitative research to be on a walk and talk with somebody as opposed to sitting in a room or nowadays on Zoom interviewing people. This paper is clearly oriented in a different way. Maybe you can update our listeners on what led you towards focusing on social accountability as opposed to the work that you were doing back then.
Yeah, that's a great question regarding the sort of atypical pathway that I've followed in, I guess, developing an interest in how social accountability is transforming health professions education. And while I was at Northern Ontario School of Medicine, I was able to develop an appreciation for what social accountability means in the context in which it's being defined and applied. And since employing the guided walk methodology, I have continued to use that approach with various participant groups. More recently with this paper, however, given that data were primarily collected during the COVID context, we definitely had to use video communications as a means of engaging with our participants. What brought me to wanting to continue to develop a program of research around social accountability is very much an increased awareness of the complex health needs that our communities and our populations are experiencing, and the need to think about how we train our future health professionals to be able to tackle those issues. So what are some of those educational transformations? And when we think of educational transformations, how, from an organizational standpoint, from a structural standpoint, is our teaching and learning addressing those community and population health needs?
For the sake of those who aren't in Canada, let alone in Quebec, what are the issues that tend to be put forward most readily when people are talking about social accountability in your context? What are the social needs that tend to come to the forefront?
I'd say the biggest one that has been shared with me by the various partner groups and individuals coming from different disciplines or different fields is really that consideration of the person that's being treated in any particular context. So seeing that person as a whole rather than the health issue that they're seeing their health professionals for or seeking care for. So when we think of that, we think of the social determinants of health, for example.
So that starts to sound to me a bit like patient-centered care as well. Is there considerable overlap in your mind in terms of how curriculum is designed or programs are considered? Or what distinction would you draw between the two concepts of social accountability and patient-centered care?
Yeah, and this is by no means to inferiorate any type of curriculum design per se, but thinking about it more broadly than a systems-based approach, thinking of it more in an integrative fashion, thinking of it as more of a longitudinal development of a future healthcare professional. And so thinking of it more about lifelong learning, for example, and as you pointed out, for whom is that care meant to support? And how is it that we can think differently about how we train our future healthcare professionals with respect to what are some of those competencies that we ought to consider when we think about curriculum design? And not necessarily just thinking about the design of the curriculum itself, but who was part of developing it and where and how is that learning taking place?
So it's obviously one thing to say that social accountability is important to us. It's another thing entirely to figure out, you know, what do we do about it? How do we intervene or implement something that will lead us in that direction? And that's obviously the focus of this paper. Methodologically, you had the relatively unusual strategy of having focus groups with a wide array of different stakeholder groups. And by rare, I mean how broadly you covered and were able to identify people from key informants from different stakeholder groups, as I said. What was the motivation behind that? And can you tell us a bit about what benefit you think it brought to the study?
Yeah, so I think it's important to first define what we mean by social accountability. And in this context, it's really based on the World Health Organization's definition that academic institutions have an obligation to orient their education, service, and research in taking into account the health needs of the populations and communities that they have a mandate to serve. And that definition was first developed in 1995. And revised in 2000, again by the World Health Organization, to consider more broadly than just academic institutions, but who are other partners who ought to be within that reflection. And so the addition of that definition in 2000 was the partnership pentagram. And so thinking about health administrators, decision and policy makers, the learners, and academic institutions, and arguably, more importantly, which could obviously be debated, community. And what do we mean by community? So when we think about community, we think about community organizations, for example, who increasingly play a significant role in welcoming learners in their contexts, in fact, to provide them with those opportunities to experience what it is that individuals within their communities might experience. And so thinking about that partnership pentagram allowed us to really focus on who we would recruit for this study. If we're asking a question about how social accountability is integrated within our undergraduate medical curriculum, we ought to be having conversations with those who are either involved in the process of developing, designing, and implementing that curriculum. And so we highly valued and recognized the importance of those voices and seeking ways to engage them as participants in our study.
And you titled the paper Pathways, Journeys, and Experiences. Where did that come from and how did that diversity of sample lead you down that path, so to speak, no pun intended?
So that actually was an excerpt from one of our participants, which we felt really valued and underscored the importance of recognizing that social accountability isn't an endpoint. And when we think of Université de Sherbrooke's recent curriculum renewal, which took place in 2017. It was actually a wholesale curriculum renewal where many of the partner groups identified in our participant groups were engaged in a process that took over several years. And so recognizing how important it is that we prepare our undergraduate learners for residency and for eventual practice. And so the Pathways, Journeys, and Experiences was really meant to illustrate the essence of that curriculum renewal, which can be characterized as the developmental pathways. And so through various integrated approaches, through various longitudinal approaches, thinking about it more than just one-off learning experiences, and rather something that is interwoven throughout the learning process.
And so thinking about that interweaving, how did that come through in the themes that you highlight as being the core knowledge you gained through these focus groups, defining future accountability? You've already offered the World Health Organization's definition. Was there something new in your data that you think was missing from the definition? And how are you thinking differently now about what it means to be a socially accountable MD program than you were before the study began?
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that social accountability is very much a phenomena that ought to be contextually bound. Not all faculties of medicine and health sciences, depending on where they are located geographically around the world, will necessarily have an identical social mission or social mandate. And so really taking into account what are some of those contextual realities, what are some of those local needs that could help inform curriculum renewal, for example. When we think of the definition of social accountability that I shared by the World Health Organization, it is very much focused on the academic institution. And what we found in our conversations with the various partner groups was this notion of translating what social accountability could mean for an individual. And so when we think of a future health professional, what might be their influence, whether it's from the perspective of their practice, and so their scope of practice, or what it is in terms of their sphere of influence, irrespective if they are a generalist practitioner or a specialist. It begs the question of who are their patients, who are their communities that they are serving, and how well do they understand the social realities of their patients? And so thinking differently about social accountability at an individual level. And so we feel that our study begins a discussion about what social accountability means for current and future health professionals.
Given the need for contextual adaptation that you just described, and recognizing you just said this is the beginning of a study, what's your current best advice for those who want to take a closer look at their own curriculum, their own education practices, and start thinking about how they could be made more socially accountable?
I think it's important to recognize part of the conceptual framework that we situated this study in was thinking about it from an appreciative inquiry perspective. And so recognizing that there may very well be exemplary teaching and learning related to social accountability already taking place. Or there may be success stories where social accountability is being expressed. And so I think coming at it from a strength-based approach may allow researchers to gain insight into what is working well, and as a result, potentially identify some of the gaps. And some of those gaps might include from whose standpoint were curricular approaches developed and designed. I say that highlighting the importance of ensuring that all voices are at the table, all partners are at the table in that curriculum design, in that curriculum renewal process. Increasingly, as we know, based on the accreditation standards in a Canadian context, the large question that tends to be asked is, what are the curricular approaches that are embedded in your curriculum that relate to social accountability? And we tend to see, you know, community service learning, for example. So that question of, you know, what and where is learning taking place? And as part of that, going beyond consultation and thinking more authentically about co-construction and co-development with the relevant partner groups to highlight some of those contextual nuances, to gain a better understanding of what are community health needs that we ought to be ensuring are then linked and interwoven throughout an educational program.
In the spirit of appreciation, if not appreciative inquiry, I think that is a very positive way for us to wrap up because it's providing some direction. And obviously, there are a bunch of details that will help to flesh out that advice in the paper itself. So I will direct listeners back to the article, which again is titled Pathways, Journeys, and Experiences, Integrating Curricular Activities Related to Social Accountability Within an Undergraduate Medical Curriculum. Tim Dubay is the lead author on the work, and you'll find it in the May 2024 issue of Medical Education. Tim, congratulations on the really strong program of research that's being developed around this, and I wish you the best of luck because it is such a very important issue.
Thanks very much, Kevin.